Welcome to the Museum of the Bible in Ustron. Our exhibition is titled The History and Credibility of the Bible, and my task is to share with you the most important elements of its message. We are in the first room where we will learn about the most basic facts concerning the Bible. They are displayed on the wall with the largest graphic marked with the number 2. But before we move on to these facts, take a look at the adjacent wall on the left, where you'll find a small plaque with the number 1, featuring a Bible resting on a globe. The inscription states that the Bible is the most important book in the history of humanity. And this is not just the wish of the creators of this exhibition, but a fact. The Bible has accompanied humanity for 3,500 years. It has even been published in 7 billion copies and translated, at least in part, into 4,000 of the 7,000 languages spoken in the world. Other, let's call them religious books, are younger or much younger than the Bible, published in significantly smaller or even very small numbers of copies compared to the Bible, and are generally rarely translated into other languages, because depending on the book, they are translated into several dozen to several hundred languages. Knowing this, let's now get acquainted with the most important facts about the Bible and its history, as shown in graphic number 2. Well, the Bible is a collection of texts, books, and not a single unified text. In this sense, it is not a single book. The word Bible in Greek means scrolls in the plural, so the Bible is an entire library. It consists of 39 distinct Hebrew books of the Old Testament, which also contain several short passages in Aramaic, and 27 additional Greek books of the New Testament. The Old Testament was written over 1,000 years, from around 1400 BC to 400 BC. The New Testament, on the other hand, was written in just a few decades during the 1st century AD. Which books make up the Bible, that is, the canon of the Bible, was not a matter of human choice, although many esteemed bodies aspire to the role of creators of this canon. In practice, the canon of the Bible was revealed by God and recognized both by its human authors and by those who use these books. Interestingly, all known authors of the biblical books were Jews, both in the Old and New Testaments, with the exception of one Greek, the evangelist Luke. We illustrate this with a tab inserted between the Old and New Testaments. Over the centuries, the biblical text was successively written on stone, on papyrus, which is a plant-based material, on parchment, that is, animal skin, then on paper, and today it is stored digitally in computer memory. For hundreds of years, the scroll was almost the only form of the Bible, and later the so-called codex, which is the form of our modern book. In fact, the early Christian church greatly contributed to the popularization of this form of publishing text, in other words, to the popularization of the book format. Until the invention of printing, about 500 years ago, the Bible had been copied by hand for the previous 3 millennia. I concluded this handful of basic facts about the Bible with the topic of its copying. And it is precisely the copying of the Bible that we will focus on in the next room, as this is the most important aspect of preserving the credibility of its text from antiquity to the present day. So, let's move on to the adjacent, larger room. In the room we are now in, we will examine the evidence for the reliability of the Old and New Testament writings. The Old Testament is discussed on the long wall that stretches all the way to the end of the narrow corridor, and the New Testament is on the 2 corner walls opposite the Old Testament. Let's start with the Old Testament and the illustration of an old scribe copying the text of the Bible, marked with the number 3. Now, The compelling evidence for the faithful and accurate copying of the Old Testament is firmly based upon three significant pillars. Pillar 1. In the period immediately after all the books of the Old Testament were written, a system developed among the people of Israel for copying the books by appointed scribes and experts in the scriptures, Sopharim, who treated the text as sacred. They checked the most important elements of the content, and above all, because the Israelites knew the text of the Bible by heart, the listeners were able to catch any inaccuracies when subsequent copies were read during assemblies, thus ensuring collective oversight of the copying process. The second pillar of evidence for the reliability of the preservation of the Old Testament text lies in the fact that, as history progressed, every few hundred years the copied text of the Old Testament was, so to speak, transferred to another hard drive, that is, the text was moved, as it were, to another different location. And this significant event happened through the meticulous translation of the ancient Hebrew Old Testament, first into the Greek language in the year 250 BC. This is when the so-called Septuagint was created. Then, around the year 200, other Greek translations were compiled, resulting in the so-called Hexapla of Origen, which was later translated into Syriac. Then, the Old Testament was translated into Latin around the year 400 by Jerome, and above all, after the destruction of the Temple and the dispersion of the Jews, Jewish scholars and Masoretic scribes continued to refine the methods of copying and additionally annotating the created copies to preserve complete information about any possible textual variants. And finally, the third truly spectacular pillar of the Old Testament's textual reliability is the relatively recent discovery in 1947 of ancient Old Testament scrolls near the Dead Sea in Israel, in a settlement called Qumran. The caves in which the scrolls were found were discovered by Bedouin shepherds, whose photographs can also be seen in the illustration. When the texts that had been sealed for 2,000 years in a time capsule in Qumran were compared with texts that had been copied over the centuries, it turned out that the text of the Old Testament was not only not distorted by copying, but that it was transmitted by scribes into modern times with almost perfect accuracy. Further along the wall labeled number 3, the reliability of the Old Testament writings, you can take a look for yourself inside the Qumran cave, number 4, and get acquainted with the witnesses to the Old Testament text that I just spoke about. That's number 5. Now let's change the subject and move on to the reliability of the New Testament writings and the graphic labeled number 6 on the other side of the room. The evidence for the reliability of the copying of the New Testament is basically similar to the previous one, which concerned the Old Testament. After the New Testament was written in the 1st century AD and its first copies were distributed throughout the Roman Empire, several independent centers for further copying of the New Testament text emerged over the following centuries. Such important centers included Alexandria in Egypt, North Africa, and Rome. Caesarea in Israel was also a key location, and eventually several other significant centers emerged in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, specifically in Byzantium. The emergence of many centers of copying and the resulting minor differences in the texts are, paradoxically, a great confirmation of the reliability of the text's preservation. After all, no one was able to control and coordinate the copying of the New Testament text in such different centers, separated from each other, over such a long period of time. And yet, when carefully comparing these different families of ancient texts with each other, it consistently yields a remarkable 99% agreement. And that 1% of differences does not change Christian doctrine. It is also worth mentioning that we currently have over 20,000 witnesses to the text of the New Testament, because in addition to the copied books I mentioned earlier, we also have, just as with the Old Testament, early translations into other languages, collections of verses for reading at Christian gatherings, and quotations from the New Testament by contemporary Christian writers. This is exactly what graphic number 6 illustrates. These preserved documents range from very small to very large, as the smallest of them is the size of a credit card, while the largest codex, that is, book, weighs 40 kilograms. Nevertheless, all of them are remarkably consistent with each other, making the New Testament, in fact, the most reliably and best attested document of all antiquity. So if someone does not want to trust the reliability of the New Testament text, they should not assume they know anything about antiquity, because all other ancient documents are incomparably less well attested. It's time for us to move on to something closest to our hearts, namely the copies of the Bible we use every day in our native languages, which, as I have tried to demonstrate, are based on the excellently preserved text of the Old and New Testaments in their original languages. At this point, it's worth remembering that the avalanche of translations into national languages began exactly 500 years ago, that is, in the 16th and 17th centuries. On the large table in the center of the room where you are now, there are many editions of the Bible translated at that time into German, English, Polish, and Church Slavonic. And on the hanging white shelf into many other languages. Since then, new translations have been constantly created, and new languages are continually being added to them, as I mentioned earlier. But now, I'll ask a question. Specifically, which editions of the Bible's text in the original languages do contemporary Bible translators put on their desks to translate the Bible into their own national language? Well, in the case of the Old Testament, for the past 500 years, these have been regularly updated printed editions of the so-called Masoretic text, which I have already mentioned, and whose name, the Masoretic text, is worth remembering. The editions of the Greek New Testament are a more varied topic. Take a look at the graphic labeled number 7. It refers to the 16th century editions of the New Testament in the original Greek, which were initiated by Erasmus of Rotterdam and are collectively known as the Textus Receptus. These editions served as the basis for translators who rendered the New Testament into national languages 500 and 400 years ago. Now, however, translators use successive editions of the Nestle Aland compilation, which have been published for the past 120 years, and take into account all currently available manuscripts of the New Testament. Both of these names, that is, Textus Receptus and Nestle Aland, are really worth remembering. Now, take a look at the graphic marked with the number 8. It refers back to graphic number 1 from the previous room, which declared that the Bible is the most important book in the history of humanity. Graphic number 8 discusses several historical events from the 15th and 16th centuries that led to the globalization of the Bible. The significant fall of Constantinople, a pivotal historical event, caused many Greek-speaking Christians and learned scholars to migrate westward, bringing with them invaluable manuscripts of the New Testament. Look below. Gutenberg's groundbreaking invention of the printing press profoundly revolutionized the entire process of copying and the widespread reproduction of the Holy Bible, with countless copies now being meticulously counted in the millions, making it accessible to a much broader audience. Look even further down. Columbus's discovery of America opened up the settlement of two new continents by Europeans, and after some time, the beginning of a worldwide mission and the mass distribution of the Bible around the globe. And finally, Luther was the first to translate the entire Bible into a national language from the original languages. In this significant way, he truly started an unstoppable avalanche of countless translations into dozens, then hundreds, and eventually thousands of different languages all around the entire world. That's precisely how the Holy Bible ultimately became a truly global and universally recognized book. And finally, just a few important words about the significant differences in various Bible translations themselves. Well, modern Bible translations differ in two fundamental ways. First of all, it's important to know whether the translator tried to translate literally, that is, word for word, even if it meant the grammar might suffer, or more dynamically, in a literary way, aiming to convey the thought for thought so that the translation would be easier to read and linguistically sound. Secondly, some translations contain only the text of the Bible, while others include much, much more. More, because most translators add to the text in the margins, footnotes, cross-references, textual variants, or even theological commentaries. It's worth knowing these two things when choosing which Bible translation to use. And it's best to use several different Bible translations in parallel, ones that differ in the above-mentioned approaches. I hope I have convinced you that the Bible is the most important book in the history of humanity, that the text of the Old and New Testament scriptures has remained unchanged to this day, and that practically all modern translations of this perfect original biblical text into national languages are valuable and can be used to learn about God's revelation to humanity. Thank you for your attention, and I encourage you to take a look at the exhibits.